God is good, and all the time. We also know that God has called us through His Son to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of His Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And that's what we do every day of our lives. That's who we are. We have given ourselves to that truth, and I pray that you understand in giving yourself to that truth, you're giving yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the Word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And to that we give an amen. Well, today we're going to be looking at our checkup. How many of you were at the doctor's this past week looking at your heart, making sure your heart was okay? Well, today we're going to go to the doctor again. You know, how many of you love going to the doctor? You know, as we get older, it happens more often, okay? And I don't think it's because we're sick. I think it's simply because they know as we get older, they can get more money out of us. You know, that's my cynical thinking, okay? You know, I mean, my wife and I were just talking, you know, we're getting to that age. I'm 61, she's 63. When are we supposed to sign up for Medicare and Medicaid? I have no idea. But I guess I got to start looking at that stuff. 65, Miss Jen just told me, 65. Because, you know, there's a penalty. If you don't sign up at the right time, there's a penalty, okay? And it's like, wow. Well, you know what? If you're not checking up with God, there can also be a penalty. And that's one of the things that we need to understand. And that's where we're going. That's why we're looking at this once again, because it is who we are. Love God, love others, and go. But God has given us a command, and I want us to look at that command. Brother Peter, you going to put that up for us? If not, you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark. We're going to be Mark chapter 12. Because again, I'm going to read this every week as we're doing this series here. We're going to be reading Mark 12, 30 and 31. Well, actually, it starts in 29. I'm sorry about that. It starts in 29 and then it runs through 31. If you can, please, yes. That way everybody's on part with where we actually start. There we go. All right. And Jesus answered, "The foremost is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." When we look at what God is telling us here, we have to understand that in the loving God part, God has given us four sections. And in those sections, it's understanding what they are and how they work out in our lives. So today, we're looking at the second portion, which is the soul. We are to love the Lord our God with all our soul. And as we come to Him in that truth and reality, I need to ask the question, and I think it's funny because even the writers of the theological books and everything else, they seem to sometimes juxtapose soul and spirit. Have you ever noticed that? Where it's like, is there a difference between soul and spirit? Well, the answer to that question is yes, there is. Okay? We need to understand there is a difference between soul and spirit. However, the soul and spirit are intrinsically connected, okay? So we can't simply divide them out and say, here's the one and here's the other. They are a part of one another. But then there's also another part that's part of this, and it's more towards the physical side. You see, God creates as God is. How many parts are there of God? Three. And they are one. You and I are also three parts. We are a spirit, we are a soul, and we are a physical being. God creates as He is, okay? We need to understand that. And when we do, we can actually come to some reality of what's going on. So, what's the difference between soul and spirit? Well, your pastor's fairly smart, but I'm not the most eloquent of people. So, I did a bunch of research, and I came upon this quote from a very wonderful theologian, and it made it so simple because I could preach on soul spirit for probably years, okay? And I've literally boiled this down. Do you see how much writing there is on that paper? Okay, made it simple, all right? And that's big letters. That's like 16 font, so I can read it. It says, while the two words are often used interchangeably, the primary distinction between the soul and spirit in man is that the soul is the animate life or the seat of the senses, desires, affections, and appetites. The spirit is that part of us that is enabled by God to know and worship Him, the part of humanity that connects with God, who Himself is Spirit. Our spirits relate to His Spirit, either accepting His promptings and conviction, thereby proving that we belong to Him, or resisting Him and proving that we do not have spiritual life. That is probably the simplest definition that I found, and it's so practical. When I think about soul and spirit, the spirit is that part of us that God enables through His Son, because Jesus, when He died, according to the Apostle Paul, became a life-giving spirit. Jesus has always been a life-giving spirit because everything that was created through Him in the beginning, correct? Yes. But now He is rebirthing us because we have become dead to Him through sin, and we have to be born again of the Spirit. Who is that Spirit? That Spirit's Jesus Christ. But Pastor, isn't that the Holy Spirit? Three in one. His name, the name of our Lord, the one who is our Savior, is Jesus Christ. He and the Father are one, and the Holy Spirit is from He and the Father. They are one. How is that? Because that's their being. Their being is one. Our being is one. But we can define it out into three pieces: spirit, soul, and physical body. Now, the amazing thing is, when we think about this, does God's Word confirm that to us? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis, chapter 2. We're going to look at one simple verse, and it's very close to the beginning because it's when God was creating man. We're going to look at verse 7 from chapter 2. One verse. One verse. Chapter 2 of the book of Genesis. From the 7th verse, thus saith the Lord. Then the Lord God formed man out of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. You and I have a being. That is our soul. How do I know that? Because actually, in several translations, it literally says in that translation, the King James is one of them, and the man became a living soul. Being and soul are the same thing. When you think about your soul, how do I love the Lord my God with all my soul? What is it? It's all my being, all that I am, everything that is added up to make me me. That's why there's so many of us that are so different, because all of the things that we have come across in our lives, all of that stuff that is added into us, and as we age, those things change. Can I get an amen? We add more and more and more because it's just constantly this influx of information coming in. And it's like my teacher used to tell me, you know, my shop teacher, he would say, if you understand it, that's when it sticks. If it doesn't stick, you're never going to remember it. And in our conscience, in our soul, those things that stick become part of who we are, what we do, and how we respond to this world. Notice I said respond, not react. Because reaction is actually part of our intellect. And that we're going to deal with next week when we start talking about mind. because the mind is also connected to the soul. That's part of our physical being. And I don't want you to get confused and think that, oh, all my thoughts. No, your thoughts aren't part of you yet. You have not made them a part of your soul unless you've been acting on these things and it is who you are. So when I look out here and I look at all of you folks that are out here, and when I look out here on internet land and no, I can't see you, but you can see me, the thing that is you, this thing that is quasi-real because we can't touch it, but yet it is who we are, that is your soul. It is immortal. Your soul is immortal. It is what goes on. And the story never ends. Did you understand that phrase? Because that's talking about eternity. And our soul goes on to eternity. And that's what God is going to judge. That's what God's going to measure in the end. When you and I look at who we are, and it speaks of that measuring that's going to happen, we're going to give an account. That's what we give an account for, is what's in our soul. What's going on there, and how does that all work? Our being, who and what we are, is the soul. So we are to love the Lord our God with all our soul, all that is our being, which means what? How does that play out? How can I love God with something I can't touch? Well, it's who you are. You know, I think it's funny, you know, we love our spouses, we love our children, and they're right there, they're physical, they're real, we can touch them, and that's it's a cognizant piece, right? But there's an immortal part of them that makes them who they are. We love them for the physical reality, and if they're your children, how they're connected to you. But there's also another part of them, and it's that soul. It's that person that's being created. It's that person that's growing. Do you love that person? I think it's amazing because some of us will love the physical, but do we love the being? And the answer to that sometimes is, well, no, not really, because I wish they would change. So are we going to be part of helping that change to come into existence? And how do we do that? Because our soul can be changed. How many of you have the same soul that you were born with? Now, that's a stupid question because, yes, you have the same soul you were born with. But does it have the same content or context as when you were born? No. We are all at a much different place. How did we get there? And that's where we have to come to the reality of then, okay, how do I love God with all my soul? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Jesus speaks to us about these very realities. And it's so amazing because, again, as I said, I want to preach this differently than I've ever preached it before because there's so much with all of these different pieces. We're going to be in Matthew 16. There is so much that comes with each of these pieces that I could never preach in a single sermon any amount of clarity on every single one of these issues. So I give you pieces to deal with, to chew up, to work on, and to take out and discover and grow in. So from the book of Matthew in chapter 16, Jesus here is speaking. He's teaching his disciples. He's teaching all of us because we are his disciples. Amen, church? And in that, we must grow. We must have our soul modified that we are no longer just loving this world and our own ideas and the things that we want. But how then do we show our love to God? Jesus speaks it very clearly here from verse 24 through 27. And then Jesus said to his disciples from verse 24, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds." Now, I need to look at this and I need to say something here very clear. Because this is one of the things that I think is a confusion for a lot of folks. It says that God is going to judge us according to our deeds, correct? If you are in Christ Jesus, all your sins have been forgiven. They are no more. Do we not know? God has said He will remember those things no more. They are as far, they are as far as the east is from the west. They are separated from us. So we need to understand we are walking in a privilege that this reality of loving God with all our soul brings to us. And that is all these things that were bad, God doesn't remember them. That's not added on to the measure. When we get to the end, that has absolutely nothing to do with who we are, because it also tells us in Scripture that the reason for that is because we've accepted Christ, and when we stand before God, He's going to say to those who have rejected Him, hey, the only difference between you and them is they accepted my Son. They're just as messed up as you were, but because they did what I asked, they get into heaven. They believed upon Him, and I can't remember their sin anymore. That's my promise. And that's made with the holy blood of the Holy Lamb. May I get an amen, church? So that is an unshakable thing in all of eternity, past, present, and future. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And the blood that remits us is the blood of the Holy Lamb of God. And when we love that, that reality comes into play. Because now we have taken up our cross. How do we take up our cross? What do we do? How do we love God? Deny ourselves. Our carnal appetites have to leave our soul. It needs to change because they are in our soul. Because they define who we are. They are our being. And we will chase after those things and the world will see it. But when we love God with all our heart, when we take up our cross and we follow Him, denying ourselves, that means we need to get into His Word. That means we need to look at who He is and trust everything that He gives to us. And I'm going to show you that here in just a moment. Pardon me. But as we walk in this thing of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, what that's talking about is changing our focus from our desires to the desires of Christ, those things that led Him to the cross, that is our cross to bear. Our cross to bear is to remember that these are the things we can do no more, but that we need to deny ourselves, deny that being, and change that being. Have God transform that being, because you and I cannot do that ourselves. If we were left to our own druthers, okay, I think that's about as Pennsylvania Dutch as I can get. If we were left to ourselves, we would all follow ourselves. I want you to think about this. When Adam was created, okay, there are so many times that I have heard, you know, the first time he made a decision, he screwed up. No, Adam followed God for a period of time. You do all realize that, right? Because God came to Adam and said, okay, name all the animals. Well, Adam named them all. So he was following God. And then Adam was told, hey, there's nobody here for you. Yeah, I know. Kind of stinks, doesn't it? Well, I'm going to put you to sleep and make a woman come out of you, from part of you, okay? Adam said, great, let's do that. Again, he worked with the Lord. Then he brought the woman to the man. Did he argue? Did he say her hair color wasn't right? Did he ask if she owned a boat? Y'all know me too well. He said, awesome. This is now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. And she shall be called woman, for out of man she has come. Adam walked with God. Adam knew God. But that stinking tree and that serpent brought an idea And because it looked good, and because it was possible to gain wisdom, Adam chose. You see, our soul is where our free will resides. I want you all to realize that. Our soul is where our free will resides. And in Adam's soul, he chose to separate from the Spirit. And he became a living soul, dead in the Spirit. Do you see how the soul and spirit are now connected or disconnected? So in that thought, when we see what's going on, God wants us to reconnect. Choose him at every opportunity. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Because there's only one way. There is only one life, and there's only one truth, and that is Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church? And that truth is here for each and every one of us. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be tough to love the Lord your God with all your soul. How many of us get pulled in all kinds of different directions from all the different things that are out there in the world? Oh, I can choose this. Oh, I can choose that. I can become this. I can become that. Why do you think Satan is trying to turn boys into girls and men into women? There's some real spiritual implication here, isn't it? Because that is coming directly against God's order. This is all satanic. All this stuff that's coming at us is satanic. We need to understand there is a war going on, and it is a spiritual war for our very souls, every soul of every human being on the earth. And as more souls are added, those souls are going to war, whether they want to or not. And this is how we do battle. Love God with all your soul. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. It is our cross to bear this burden that we have to deny ourselves to the world. For if we deny ourselves and live to him, we'll live unto life. Isn't that how he starts this? So it's understanding. It's making that choice. You see, our soul is so connected to our free will, it literally expresses itself in all that we are. It is our being. And you get to choose. You get to choose to be with God or be absent from God. But we have to choose that at every choosing. Now, does that mean, you know, and I spoke this to somebody earlier this week, you know, if I need a refrigerator, should I take that to the Lord and ask him which one I should buy? Come on, people. Do you think he cares if you buy a Frigidaire or a General Electric? If you need a refrigerator, buy a refrigerator. What he's talking about there are truly the life issues. Is this good? Is this bad? Is this right? Is this wrong? Is this the way God designed it? Is this the way man purposes it? It is looking at the weight of these things. And when we get to heaven and we give an account, what account are we going to give? We chose the one thing, the one thing, the one thing that gets you into heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. That's how you love the Lord your God with all your soul. You choose Jesus Christ, and then you follow him, denying yourself, giving these things up. But then what do we know to do? How do we understand what we're supposed to do? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4. God lays all this stuff out in this book, but guess what? We've got to get in there and find it. That means he wants us to be vested in him. Can I get an amen, church? Because that's truly loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's getting into it. From the book of Hebrews. Stop talking, preacher, and start flipping pages. Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 12 through 16. Verses 12 through 16. Oh, I love this. And we all know this. This is the truth of who he is. This is the truth of what he does and what he brings. from verse 12 in the fourth chapter of the book of the Hebrews, thus saith the word of the Lord, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to his eyes, the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we know we have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As you and I walk this walk, as we see what is coming, where do we turn for everything of life? To the Word of God. The Word of God is going to lay it bare. It's going to lay it out, just like it's going to lay us out. That when we stand before God the Father, He is going to lay it bare. He's going to see our soul. What did we do? How did we live? What was the evidence of our lives? Did we honor Jesus Christ? Did we seek the Lord with all that we are? And if we have, He says from the book of Jeremiah, if you wish to find Him, you must seek Him with all your heart. And therefore we will be found by Him, declareth the Lord. And that's what He wants to find when we get to heaven. That we have been rightly divided by the Word, which means we need to rightly divide the Word ourselves. Can I get an amen, church? We must be found in this Word because it will cut out all the cancer. It will cut out all the infection. It will cut out all that is unnecessary and will leave us with only the goodness and the life that is eternal, and that is Jesus Christ. For He has passed the test, and that test leads unto our salvation. For when we love the Lord our God with all our soul, we are giving Him our all, our very being, allowing Him to lay waste to those things that we don't need anymore, the dregs of life. Now, how many of us, is that a work in progress? Yeah. Yeah. He gives us this time to learn and to move with Him. And the awesome thing is when we're done, you know, when the bell goes off and you ladies run to the oven to check that cake to make sure it's okay, the awesome thing is when we are in the oven of Christ Jesus, that cake is a perfect cake every time. It never flops, it never fails, and it never burns, and it never sticks. Because Jesus Christ delivers us perfectly into the love of God. Every place we have fallen short, Jesus makes up. So when we stand before Him, we will be holy, not because of ourselves, but because we have loved Him with all our soul. We have sought Him in all that we are. And in that we have a promise. What is that promise? Turn back just a few pages to Hebrews chapter 6. Turn back just a few pages to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to read verses 10 through 20. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. I love this, and I pray you do too, because this is the promise of God. This is our hope. For God is not unjust as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made the promise to Abraham, Since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying that I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you. And so having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, and a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered, as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Blessed be the word of our Lord. God has swore a promise. It was a blood promise. And that blood promise cannot be broken. That is our hope. That as we take up that blood promise of Jesus Christ, it can never be broken. Because the blood promise was to Abraham, and through Jesus Christ, who is a Jew of the line of Abraham, we are engrafted into the body of Abraham. And therefore we become the body of Christ. Because Christ is full heir to the promise. And he is the promise as we come to him. So when we hold fast to this truth, when we walk in the reality that each and every one of us has to make a choice every day, and oftentimes many times a day, are you going to love God so much that you deny yourself? Or are you going to love life, this life, what's here temporarily, more than the eternity that sets before you that we don't even get to see yet? But the promise is there. And it also states in that promise that no eye has seen, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I just pray today that each and every one of you and all of you out there on internet land would truly desire to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Next week, we're going to look at loving him with our mind, and then the following week, all our strength, and what those things look like, and just how we walk in them. But today, this week, I want you to take the report from the doctor, and I want you to walk for the next 7 days looking at your soul. Let's see how it measures out. Because as it measures out unto the Lord, so too eternity measures out unto us. But we have to judge ourselves with sober judgment. Is that not what the Word says? Which means looking at ourselves for who we really are. There are many people that come to church, and they come to church for no other reason than to sit in the pew. That's why we have chairs. There's no pews here. Because pews stinketh. That's why it's called a pew. You got it, John. Today, may we be the refreshing aroma of Jesus Christ, and may our souls be renewed daily through the love of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Pray with me. Father God, we come before you in love and hope because, Lord, we know that as we love you with all our soul, our hope in you is sure. We are given that promise right here in the book of Hebrews. And, Father, we thank you because there is nothing sure for us on this earth. But in eternity, you are sure. And we hold to that anchor which holds against every storm of life. And that anchor is our Savior, Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. And the church says, Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.